First Baptist Church of Redmond, June 12, 2011. Thanks to the Lord.
Please stand. Today's reading is from Colossians 1, verse 3 and 4. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Be seated.
Thank you very much. Thanks to the Lord. We're looking at some of the first verses from Colossians chapter 1 today. And take a look up there. What is that? What is that? When I was a child, that was the most frustrating piece of playground equipment. Here's why for me. I'm a person who, I get dizzy easily. I used to have a worse problem with vertigo than I do now. But I'm a person who gets dizzy and I puke. Enough with that story. But as a child, you get on that and everybody's having fun. You push, push. And for a while, I tried to have fun by just being the pusher. I would push and push. But I thought, you know, I'm going to get on. And I would get on that and I'd be on the outside holding on. And oh, the headache would come and my stomach would start to churn. And I would think, please let someone stop this so I can get off. But you discover that if you start feeling, at least for me, if I started feeling that way, if I laid down or if I moved to the middle, to the inside, the closer I got to the middle, the less it bothered me. So the point is, the closer you are to the center, the more stable you are. So in the same for our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, Colossians chapter 1, as we had mentioned, if you remember, this book is about Jesus, the supremacy of Jesus Christ in our world and particularly in our lives. And when you go to, I mentioned a couple of Saturdays ago, my family went to Mariners game. And did anyone wear any Mariner clothing? Oh, very good. Did you see other people in Mariner clothing? Oftentimes people will identify with the team. Whether it's a team that's doing well or a team that's not doing well, you'll identify with the team, you'll dress like the team, you'll kind of look like the team. You want to look similar to the other folks. As we look at this book of Colossians, which is in some ways an unfamiliar book, we don't preach it as much, because this book is pretty much all about Jesus, our relationship to Him, how great He is, and because of who He is, how great He is, what He is doing, His place in the universe, His place in our lives, it reminds us how much we owe Him and our obligations to Him. We preach a lot more from the book of Ephesians because it has all these long lists of practical things to do. If we contrast them, Ephesians, as we've said, so often talks about the Savior's church. But the flip side is Colossians. It's the reverse of that. It's the church's Savior. And as Paul writes this, he speaks to, as it says in chapter 1, verse 2, the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. When Paul starts his books that way, some of these little terms we look over, but he's trying to change the way we think as we look at these books. When we call them saints, the idea is holy ones, or if you will, it's a close term, little holy ones. Daniel, I didn't tell you about this. Would you stand up and come up here for a minute? Come up here, stand in front of the communion table, and then just turn around and let everybody look at you. Let everybody look at you. Daniel, you go out for me before church on Sunday morning. We went out, we get the donuts that we have out there, and we get a cup of coffee for Mom and Dad, right? Yeah, we did that today, didn't we? And when people look at you, they know you're going to church, don't they? How do they know you're going to church? You don't have a big sign on there saying, I'm going to church. How do they know? He's dressed for church. Can you tell of all the poor little 8-year-old children, which one of them's dad works at church? Can you tell which one of them? Thank you, Dan. You go back and sit down. When God, thank you very much. You can clap for him. That's okay. He stood up. Very good. Didn't fall over. When God, when we talk about saints, to the saints and faithful, saints is, if you will, a chip off the old block. Little holy ones. Why? Because our God is a holy God. And as we come into his family, we, by a relationship with Jesus, but also by the way we conduct ourselves, should be acting like we're little, cute, holy ones in the world around us. You think, oh, isn't that cute? That kid is dressed up for wedding, dressed up for church, dressed up for a little ball game, little hat, little bat, little all those kinds of things. When we put on Christ, we put on God's nature. We put on a relationship with him that influences us from the inside out. We talked about it in the book of Romans when we talked about being not conformed to the world but transformed from the inside out. So when he addresses these people, he starts off by telling them, listen, welcome, please read these letters. And by the way, just the fact that you know Jesus, you, realize it or not, you are a different kind of person. You carry around God's name. God's Spirit is inside of you. And just as God is holy, your little holy ones, holy because of their faith in Christ. And when God talks to us about being faithful, so often that's a term you just put together in English. They're full of faith. They trusted God. What has given them this status? What has made them a little holy one? They trusted God. And now, because they trust God, they know God, they understand the things that God has given them, they demonstrate that they're full of faithful trust, because this faithful trust changes their conduct. I can tell you today, my blood sugar was 111 when I got up this morning and poked my little finger. For me, that's good. Less than 120 is good. Why is that? Well, because when I bought the kids donuts last week, I didn't have any donuts. I bought donuts this morning. I didn't have any donuts. I gave Daniel a candy bar after his ball game yesterday. I didn't have a candy bar. But that's why I was 111 on the meter this morning. Because I even went to the doctor last week, and when I was there checking my hand, oh, Mr. Johnston, can you please give us a liter? Well, not a liter. Can you please give us some blood so we can experiment on you? Well, because they're checking to see, you know, if I've been naughty or nice with what they tell me. So things are looking okay. I haven't got my results, but I'm following the requirements they give us. So for us, to the saints and faithful, to the ones because you've trusted Christ, he tells us we are, if you will, God's representatives, the little holy ones, his representatives in this world. And by our conduct, we know, we show that we know, we hear, we understand what we should be doing. And while not being perfect by a long shot, we try to order our lives to demonstrate what God has done for us so our lives match up to some of his character qualities. And as our writer continues, he talks to us about these things. Most of Paul's letters also talk about grace and peace. And when he talks about these things, he's not just being nice. These words have been used so frequently, we come to just see them as a phrase. But when he's using this kind of a Christian greeting, and this was a distinctive Christian greeting, he is asking, as he prays, I pray for God's grace, God's help to meet your needs, which one of us doesn't have that kind of problem. And he says, and while you are receiving and waiting for and using God's grace, he's hoping that the peace of God will help them despite their difficulties, despite the reasons they have to ask for God's help. He says, I hope you are stable. I hope you are able to not become agitated. I hope you're able to sleep. I hope you listen to God's words and change as they reflect. And it's not because of your great self-control, he says. He says, this grace and peace comes who? From God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it is our reliance on God. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Do you see what he says? Do you act on them? Do you do the things that God says? Because our relationship with God is what gives us access to the kind of help that God will offer and the peace that can keep our minds and hearts secure even in a difficult, unstable place. He says, this is what works in our lives, verse 6, to bring forth fruit, which has come in you as it has in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit. As we talk about this fruit, it is a personal fruit, something that each one of us would be demonstrating. It isn't just this person, this person, this person, but the idea of this fruit is among you is the idea that it is personally experienced by all of us who are in Christ Jesus. Some way, somehow or another, you're manifesting. You have a chance to learn, demonstrate, cultivate, and you can eat, have the products of your relationship with God is bearing this fruit. Sometimes we talk about fruit as far as people trusting Christ and getting saved. That's not what we're talking about here. When we're talking about coming, bearing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. The idea is that once we, and again the stress is on us, we, because when this letter is written, it's not written to the emperor. It's not written to the head of the local garrison in Colossae. It's not written to the people, if you remember the Tri-Cities we talked about in this region, it's not written to the people who are going to the hot springs in Hierapolis, nor the people who are conducting business in Laodicea. It's written to the bedroom community, the people who live in Colossae. It says, you believers in this area, it says, we need to be people who see that the faith that saved us is what keeps us. And what we do with the truth, the knowledge, the facts that we have picked up is what makes the difference for us. Just like the doctor tells me, if you follow these edicts, your type 2 diabetes will be better. You'll score good numbers. You're going to be perkier. You're going to, okay, well, very good, very good. I still haven't grown any hair back. I don't think it's one of the problems with the diabetes. That's not going to follow. But as far as, well, I don't have these other problems, very good, very good. So in the same way, knowing Christ and knowing the kinds of things that Christ expects from us, giving us his word, telling us the Holy Spirit is that still small voice, talking to us about scripture, using those things is actually beneficial to us. It's beneficial to us to say yes to God. It's beneficial to us to deny ourselves on occasion. It's beneficial to us to obey and take part in the Great Commission. It's beneficial to us to be willing to take our responsibilities in front of Jesus that God gives to us. And he says, this is the fruitful, this is the benefit, the result is you get to enjoy the profit that your life has from knowing Jesus as your Savior. He says, this benefit comes to you from the day you heard it when you trusted Christ, and talks about the grace of God in truth. It's worked in their lives and again, evident in their actions. He tells them, you who know Christ can demonstrate, can prove to yourself that you know Christ because look at what Christ can do. He says, by the way, it does take a little bit of practice to become a fruit-bearing believer because I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I wish I could do, I'd like to do, I enjoy doing that perhaps I shouldn't do. And listening to God, depending on Christ, becoming made that little holy one more, and learning to put my faith into practice and being full of faith and using the truth that God has given me helps me be a better disciple. Talks about as you learned from Epaphras. This isn't just a Bible class. The idea of learning has the idea of someone who sees, who absorbs what is modeled. They'd had some instruction, but the idea is that they're learning to take on a lifestyle. Without getting into it, when I was in class last week, there were certain things that we repeated multiple times a day that had to do with safety, because it's the number one concern with firearms is safety. So safety, safety, safety. I won't bore you with the details, but these things were drilled. I can repeat some lists in my mind right now, even after a week of things that they drilled into us. So for us, who know Christ as Savior, there are certain things that should be in our hearts and in our minds. We to learn to not just know what God says, but to learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and that the first test for that is that we'd learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, which is very difficult because I don't know about you, but most of us feel like we could use a little bit more love. Adam's your birthday, you're going to feel a little bit of love. Not a lot of love because we don't want to spoil it. But we give you a little bit of love today so that you know that at least once a year you can be feeling special. So for us, we all wish we had a little bit. But then to turn and put someone else first or above others. And by the way, that's how we demonstrate this. Is verse 8, who declared, thinking about Epaphras, who declared to us your love in the Spirit. This is the greatest sign of faith, is do we love? Do we know? Do we understand? And does it change us? How do we produce thanks to God? Number one is trust the gospel as it lays faith foundations. People who don't know God, we can't expect them to trust God, to honor God, to love God, to praise God, to even acknowledge God if they don't know God. Who are supposed to be the people who talk about and honor God? It is us. Producing thanks comes also from trusting Jesus as we find God's help in life's needy moments. We talked about finding grace and finding peace. Grace for the help we need at the moment and peace while we're waiting for that grace to take effect in us or the world around us. Overcoming in life using God's truths because we trust Him. Verses 4 and 5 spoke about hearing of the faith they had in Christ because of the hope laid up for you in heaven and the truth of the gospel. Some people believe, and I think this is true, that the earlier Paul mentions faith, hope, and love in an epistle, the higher he thinks of the people who receive it, because like in Corinthians, he's laying all these foundations for faith, hope, and love, and talks about them finally in chapter 13. But here, right away in Colossians, like he does right away in Thessalonians, faith, hope, and love. So he looks at these people as having it together before he gets to the theme of his letter, which here is going to be, again, I'm glad you trust Christ, let's talk about Christ even more. And the issue is, keep following Jesus to have this fruitful and growing life. And the greatest test for this is becoming known for showing God's love. If you're like me, you see scenes like that all the time. Construction lines, power lines. You generally don't think about them until it's stormy. You know, when it's stormy, the lines come down. Don't want to touch them. Watch out. Call. Stay away. The lights go out. On August 14th, 2003, a chain of events took place which led to the largest power blackout in American history. It started, as people look back, at 3:32 p.m., August 14th, 2003. A single sagging power transmission line in southern Ohio shorted out. And as it shorted out, it began to cause the surrounding power lines to overload and then sealing themselves off from the power grid that created a huge need for power in Cleveland. When Cleveland began pulling in an unsustainable amount of electricity from Michigan and Ontario that knocked out their transmission lines and generating plants that ultimately led to a blackout in New York City. So much that New York cut off its transmission of electricity to the regioning states they had contracts for because they didn't have it to share. Ultimately, New York had a lot of extra power, just not enough, but because it wasn't sharing the extra electricity it had, and I don't understand how this works, it began to recirculate back through its own system, back to its generators, and shut down New York City's electricity. The result, again, the United States' largest power shutdown in history. Why? From one thing going wrong. When we know Christ, we can think of a lot of things that go right. But God wants to talk to us so often about one thing. He says, there's one thing I want you to think of. I don't know what that one thing is for you. But there's one thing God will talk to you about. And he says, I want you to get a hang of this. I want you to get comfortable with this. I want you to work on this. And you say, God, I've worked on other things. God says, yeah, let's work on this one thing. In general, Colossians, we have, again, the idea of honoring Christ. He's number one. And as we honor Christ, sometimes God whispers to us something, but that still small voice that we should work on. I can't tell you what it is. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know if you have one for sure. But as we get close to Christ, God wants us to work on that one thing, and it's almost always going to be a sinful thing. Something that we just need to deal with. So as God works with us on those kinds of things, he gets our attention on just how important being a little holy one is. And being faithful, full of faith in all these areas. So as we prepare now to remember our Lord's death for us until he returns by sharing in the Lord's table, as we stand up as we will, as we prepare to sing beneath the cross of Jesus as our gentlemen wait for us, we want to stop and reflect, God, do you have anything for me today? God, I know Jesus as my Savior. I know the Holy Spirit gives me peace that I have trusted Christ as my Savior. God, I know that you're my Father and that Jesus is my Savior. But as we do these kinds of things, God, what do you want to remind me of? The Lord's table is a time of honoring Christ, number one. Do this in remembrance of me. But oftentimes it's for us, because we're called to examine ourselves to make sure that we're giving Christ due honor, an opportunity not to refuse it. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, this is for you. But as we do these kinds of things to reflect, God, is there anything that I should think of, I should do, omission, commission, and take a moment and just talk to him about it. You don't have to necessarily fix it today. If you can, great. But talk to him about it, acknowledge it, and see how he'll lead.